We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
At the newly branded, Tim, I'm going to make this stick. It's the AmFam Funhouse.
Is that what this is?
That's what I'm calling it. And I'm going to beat that dead horse into the ground as if it was Jordan Love.
Wow. AmFam. Wait. Your Funhouse. Countdown is very accurate. The excitement level is up. And Bart, let me just say, I apologize for ducking out on you yesterday.
Oh, I'd rather talk to you today.
Yeah, no, it lines up good, but yeah, I got hit with that, I don't know, sickness, you know. I don't want to dissuade people from getting the vaccination at all, not at all. I went ahead and did it, but in my particular situation, I will just tell you this: I got sick for just, you know, about 24 hours. And it was actually worse than me having COVID, because I've had that too. So, everyone can make their choice, but man, I apologize for that.
I'm just happy you got it, but I'm pro getting the vaccine. I haven't talked about that a lot because, well, I was pro mask and people turned on me. So I'm going to try to keep it straight and narrow. I'm actually going to the game today. I am, you know, there's a recommendation to double mask. I ain't double masking. I am triple masking, though.
Are you? Good for
you. Oh, yeah. I'm going to triple mask, and then I'm going to wear one of those Halloween Michael Myers masks over it.
And just wear one of those, you know, walk into that joint like looking like Neil Armstrong, and then you'll feel pretty safe.
Yeah, I'm gonna dress. I have a spare suit from NASA. And I'm gonna wear that.
Okay, all right. No, I was waiting for the one shot deal, and I finally dialed that in and got it taken care of, and that's that. So I've got my papers, and I can do whatever I want to do, I guess.
Hopefully. I'm working on a new open for you. I'm working on a new open for the show. That's been 2 years in the running. I have the worst show open in the history of radio.
Who wrote it?
I did. Fun.
I like the girl promos you've got.
Yeah, no, the girl, I like her. That's my wife.
Is that your? That's not your wife, is it?
It's not my current wife.
Okay.
Hi-oh.
All right. Well, the divorce rate is up there too.
No. I'm kidding. I love her. But I'm making a drop for you. We already have this from Craig Council.
Tim Allen's here. What do you got, Tim?
Okay. We know that one. David Stearns this week.
I like Tim's perspective.
How about that?
What was that from?
That was this week during the Wendy's Big Show. Yeah.
Was that referring to a reporter, Tim?
That's referring to Tim Allen, Tim.
Why? What was my perspective?
Sparky said, I think that, or Tim, he said, Tim Allen postgame show says the Brewers would benefit from not having the DH.
Yeah, there we go. And I
like Tim's perspective.
Stearnsy.
No, and the reason I say that is because it allows Council to do its work as magic mid to late game, Bart. I mean, that is an asset he's got over a lot of other managers. And I think everyone could agree that sometimes we don't agree with the moves he makes, and sometimes they don't work out. And Bart, when you're you and I and other broadcasters are griping about, why didn't you leave him in for one more bet? Whatever it might be, it turns out that he made the wrong move. That's okay, but most times he does, and he just is that guy that likes to do that and knows exactly what pieces he's got. And that DH takes that sort of area of expertise off the table a little bit. It's almost more like your cookie cutter managing, and you know exactly when you can take out a pitcher and go with the other guy. This, especially the versatility, you think about McKinney can play first outfield. You think about, Keston can move over. There's a lot of different pieces to move around. Shaw, if need be, you go to some extras or it's a tie ball game late, he can move over. I mean, there are, with Orlando Arcia moving over to third, you've got so many different pieces to move around. I'm just slightly concerned, though, with going with the more position players, Bart. Not sure that that's the right way to go. And you may see a roster move here by the time the weekend's up. In regards to, when they take a look at what pitchers they have. And
The Weeknd, great band, love their mellow stuff. I agree with you.
But, the DH, that would have taken a little of expertise away from Council.
Well, when you got Stearns.
I like Tim's perspective.
You got the clubhouse. The Brewers did release their opening day roster. If you've been following the team, there are no surprises here. They are going 14 position players today and 12 pitchers. It's a 26-man roster now. You may still have 25 in your head. That's okay. It's changed. Change is hard. Drew Rasmussen and Luis Urias making their first opening day rosters. Justin Topa, that's an injury that sucks. He's going to miss probably half the season. But you're right. They are keeping 14 position players for today. And Council and Stearns will stress that this is a one-day roster. It's nice to make the roster on opening day. It's a very great achievement, but it's a one-day roster. Let me start with Daniel Vogelbach, because the Brewers have this extra roster spot, we'll say, and they are keeping a guy to be really not just the designated hitter, because that doesn't exist, the designated pinch hitter.
Yep.
So either, there's a few outcomes. Either here is a disaster at first, and they need to play Vogelbach there more. Either Vogelbach is very good as a pinch hitter, and they have to find a way to get him in the lineup. Vogelbach's very good as a pinch hitter. Someone's like, can we have him? You want to make a deal here? Or Vogelbach is very terrible as a pinch hitter, and it doesn't work out. I think that this is not going to be, of all the things that they're going to try, Shaw, Urias, Arcia, three guys for two spots, the outfield stuff here at first. I think Vogelbach as a designated specialist pinch hitter probably has the shortest shelf life to me.
It is one of the more tough things to do in the game of baseball, Bart. It is. We look at a guy coming in the eighth inning and there's two on and one out and the team has a one-run lead. And some would say that, man, the game's on the line right there. Or a closer with a one-run lead and he allows a leadoff double. I mean, that's a tough situation. Ron Renneke taught me some years ago that it got me to thinking about what is the toughest role in baseball. And you dissect all of those different scenarios. He had said it is to pinch hit. If you're a pinch hitter, it is the toughest thing to do in baseball. And you know, so the odds are stacked against you a little bit in terms of a pinch hitter, but sometimes you can just find some magic in that. It comes early, Bart. It does, and I'm a big believer in tone setting. I am, and always have been. Things that happen early in a game or a season or a series, I think, does have an impact moving forward. The first couple of times that Vogelbach gets in there with a couple of runners on and two out, and he's going to make a pitching change anyway, and you know, it just seems fit. There's a right-hander on the mound. He hasn't faced three hitters yet, and they're pickled into the corner to have the matchup against Vogelbach work in his favor. If he can get a big hit, Bart, early in his, let's say, tenure this season, it is huge. It is huge. Hey, he was one of the best Brewers hitters down the stretch last year. He really was. And if he gets that sort of magic working, that is huge for this team. And it's not just strikeout or home run for him. And let's not forget that this isn't Russell Branyan, where it's going to be strikeout or monster 500-foot home run. This is more of a ball-in-play guy, and I like that out of Vogelbach. But you're right, he may have the shortest shelf life here. But if he does get off rolling a little bit, say he does come up with over the weekend here, say he goes 1-for-4 in pinch-hitting appearances through this series, but the one is a huge game-changer, man, that is so huge. He's a contact guy. I think he's a little underestimated here, as we saw last year. But it's a tough assignment, and some players can handle it, some can't. Let's hope he can.
Getting you ready for opening day, our coverage brought to you by the Milwaukee Veterans Affairs Medical Center. Reminding all enrolled and eligible veterans, you can now receive the COVID-19 vaccine as well. You look at the roster again, it's 14 guys, and we hope to have the lineup. God, I can't wait to just dissect the lineup again.
Know that.
We hope to have.
Take a look, Bart, at some of the lefty-righty splits here, if you will, just on the roster, and we're pretty sure what it is at this point. I don't know if you're going to see any consistency at all with that lineup. I mean, I could see now they may want Colton Wong to lead off against lefties, righties. It doesn't matter. I'm not convinced of that. I'm not convinced that against a left-hander that Colton Wong is going to be the leadoff hitter. You may see upwards of, and I'm not kidding, upwards of 145 different batting orders this year. And you know, admittedly, I'm a lineup guy, and there's certain players that you don't want to mess with. But I mean, you could see maybe even 150 plus different lineups this year for council. So I wouldn't expect, and I'm trying to pinch myself and warn myself that there won't be any consistency in this, but maybe Colton Wong does just, you know, grab the car keys, lead off spot, and off he goes. Lefty, righty, it doesn't matter. But I would tend to doubt that.
I want to ask you a question that we asked our audience yesterday. And it was a question I stole. I was in lacrosse with my boy Grant. And he asked me a question, and I went, what a dumb question. And then I thought, actually, that's the best question ever. And he asked me, are we, right this very day, in the golden era of Brewers baseball?
Are we now in the golden era?
Are we in it right now? I think there's three possible, and we put a poll up, the three possible times are like 78 to 83. They made the World Series there. They were like 95 game winners, but the AL East back then, you got one team in. But they were good, and they consistently, I think they had a grasp on the town. Then I would look at 08 to 11. Not only did you make the playoffs twice there, but like in 05, we haven't had this since. We haven't had a group of guys that all kind of came up together. Hardy, Weeks, Braun, Fielder. Yep. They all came up together, and for those 4 years, they were relatively consistent of being in the lineup every day, and they made the playoffs twice. And then we have now this Craig Council era now where you've made the playoffs three straight years for the first time ever. Could we look at this as at least possibly the golden era of Brewers baseball?
Depending on your perspective of success, and that has been swerving all over the road here in conversations on your show, Bart, and others. I mean, is success a playoff run? Is success in Green Bay's situation, you know, 4 of 7 NFC title games? Is success, you know, making it to the World Series, deeper runs into the playoffs? I think you're on to something here. You do have a run to the World Series in that window you talked about, late 70s, early 80s, and that is going to be tough to beat. But then you also have the run of, as you said, the younger, we called them at that time the Blue Chippers. The Blue Chippers were coming up, and they were coming up together. So you had some splash and some excitement around that 8 to 11 range. Now you've got maybe not as many colorful characters, because you could look at the Gorman and the beer drinking and the partying and all that, and some success in terms of wins back in that late 70s, 80s. Then you could look at the young personalities, if you will, of the Prince Fielder and those boys. But now you just look at more of a success sort of thing, and I don't think it's real sort of colorful, because you had the celebrations, bowling pin celebrations with Prince Fielder, and they were, and plus, Bart, that was the advent of social media also. So that was getting a lot of play here at that time. So it made it a little bit more exciting. This is more based on success. In order to beat that late 70s, early 80s, Bart, I think you're going to have at least a deep run here with this run. You're going to have to get NLCS range, if not into the World Series.
Well, in the 70s, I think the 70, late 70, early 80s is leading our poll. And then I have to look again. I think this era is second right now in the poll. It's like 40% to the 70, late 70s and early 80s. Obviously, I was not born until one of the greatest years of human history, 1984.
Okay.
They actually call it, they were thinking about, you know how like zero's the year AD, BC, they were thinking about that for me to change the calendar.
That's right.
Because I'm like the greatest.
But this is based on a little more.
But in the I'm about to get to my point before I started praising myself, because nobody else will. I think that like in the late 70s and 80s, early 80s, like you go, from what I understand, you go to a bar and see Gorman Thomas and half the team hanging out, and you can hang out with them.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, I saw Christian Yelich at a Whole Foods. Said hi. You know, so there was a different, the way they encapsulated the town based on what I am being told is they kind of have a bigger, like everybody loves the Brewers now, but there's a lot going on. The Brewers back then had like a bigger like reach and grasp on the community, which is, it's easier to do back in 1979 because, I mean, nothing was happening. You know what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying, and that's what I'm saying, that the personalities were just a little different at that time. And then the World Series appearance. So you have to, and the other playoff appearance in that window also can't be discounted. But I think in 2018 here in this current run, Bart, I think there's some semblance of Brewers fans that just expected that to be that blip, like that 2011 blip where it was there and then it, now you got to tear it down and sort of reconstruct a little bit. It's a little different here where now they follow it up with a couple of playoff appearances. And that changes, Bart, that does change the landscape a little bit. But as I said, to get into the comparison there, they need a deep deeper run here. The last couple of years, it's been one and done. And, you know, it's reminiscent of 2008, where it was, you know, one playoff and then done. So you're going to have to prove that you can do it at that point. Much the same as the Green Bay Packers. They're going to have to prove that, you know, this can't be an NFC title run again and done. I mean, that's where that bar is. You've got, you know, when you think about it, it's exciting to have this Milwaukee Brewers team into the playoffs, into the postseason, relevant baseball down the stretch, pennant races for three consecutive seasons. I don't see that changing this year, especially when you look at the division. And that's exciting. So I see where you're going with this, that this could be the modern era of Brewers' success in terms of consistency. But, man, they need a deeper run. They need to face that Dodger team or that Padre team or whatever, Mets team or whoever you're going to face, further than just the first round. You got to get past that this year. And heck, the way I see it, and this may be off topic just a little bit, I think they're more powerful than people think offensively. And I think people are discounting this offense. I think it's going to be far superior than people think. I think it's a move-the-line offense. I do. And everyone's pointing at the pitchers. Everyone's saying, well, that's their strength. Run prevention is their strength because it's defense and it's pitching. I'm not so sure I buy that 100%. I think this offense is going to keep the line moving. Bart, you cover Brewers baseball. How many times in the last couple of years has there been a Brewer rally that's, wow, they put up five, they sent 13 to the plate, they bat around? You know what?
Like four times.
It's pulling teeth trying to get those sorts of rallies here.
Like when they go down 2-0 in the third, the game's over.
And it's I don't see that to continue this year. You're probably not going to be amongst the leaders in home runs, and I really could give a rip about that. But to keep that line moving, to get a ball in play, I think you're going to see a little different aspect of this offense this year.
Do you feel like with baseball being back today, Tim Allen opening day, Pella Windows and Doors at Wisconsin post-game show, after every last pitch, make that switch. Oh, make that switch.
I could hardly sleep last night. I'm not kidding you. It was like, man, I go back to my natural habitat. And, hey, let's not mistake this business that we're in. The 16th year of this post-game show. I mean, I've... You know, you think about, you know, guys like Joe Zanzola that, you know, would call the show, you know, as a young guy, and then he ends up working with us. And, you know, Billy, the former colleague of ours, you know, he was calling the show as a kid, as an 11-year-old kid. He ends up working with us. And, I'm grateful for that, Bart, seriously. I really am. I don't take it for granted, not at all.
Then you have guys like me who listened to the show, hated your guts, and now have faked a friendship with you for 6 years.
No, it's okay to disagree,
I'm
man.
Playing with you.
It is. It's all right. It's all right.
I'm just playing with you, boo-boo.
That's okay. We can disagree. Oh, there will be a lot of Brewers disagreements here this year, and that's cool. We get to talk through them. And I'm open, amenable to saying, you know what? I didn't think of it that way. Good point. Good point. I like that when people say, you know what, I didn't think of it like you do. That's a decent point. But, and then we can continue our conversation. I can't wait. So now, after the last pitch today, you make the switch. We'll talk Brewers baseball. And you think about where the expectations are this year. The expectations, for once, and you talk about this modern sort of golden run, maybe, that they're on. The expectations for this baseball team under Stearns, Arnold, Adonasio, and Council, they've changed that landscape, Bart, to the point where we expect them in the postseason. That is a sweet, sweet thing. That we can't discount that. We don't expect them, well, just hopefully they'll be within striking distance. Or, gosh, if they get a sweep of St. Louis here in September, maybe they can get to within three games with 10 to play. Those days are over. We actually expect this team into the playoffs, and that is so cool for this organization.
What I like about this year is a couple of things. First of all, because I don't think I've been this excited for a season, maybe ever. Last year was a season. It was nice, but, right? I mean.
But I was telling Sam before I got on, it's like last year never happened. Honestly.
Feels that way. What I really remember about last year is Justin Turner left the field, came back, had COVID, celebrated. Corey Seager won the World Series championship MVP, and the interview was weird. He won a car. That's what I remember about the entire season. That's what I remember.
It's almost like we've waited since 19 to get baseball back. You know, in a weird way, it's all a blur last year. And honestly, you know, maybe it's age or something, but I don't remember doing a lot of post games last year. Even though I did, you know, 60-plus, I just don't recall them in vivid memory like I normally would. And it's just weird that way. And I think a lot of baseball fans, a lot of Brewers fans, think the same way.
Well, the players kind of agree with you.
Yeah, it's like it was going through the motions a lot of times. And, yes, and it was great making the playoffs. And people say, well, they were, you know, whatever they were.
I barely remember those games. And the Brewers had legitimate chances to win.
They did. And it's almost like, wow, did that happen? And if it did, I don't recall it real well. It's the one year. Yeah, I can go back to a big home run against Boston in 1993 that Jim Gantner hit to win a baseball game. But I don't remember in vivid detail just last year. You know what I mean? I don't know if it's a blocking out of what occurred. But again, don't discount the playoff appearance. That I will say, because it's relative to the other teams doing the same thing, playing the same pandemic season, the same protocols, the same no fans, the same no videos, and they made the playoffs against their opponents. And we can't discount that because it's relative to what it was. So the streak is alive, and it's going to be 4 years, in my opinion.
One of the things that excites me, too, about the season is I think a lot of times your season, the level of fun you have as a fan during it is set by the level of your expectation. So that's why I thought that, you know, this year, if you're a Browns fan for the Cleveland Browns, you made the playoffs, had an amazingly great playoff win, then you lost, but you exceeded your expectations, whereas the Packers kind of did status quo, even though they went farther or further, whatever's better for the English language. Mm-hmm. So I think Browns fans enjoyed the season more than Packers fans did. This year, where I'm at is, I don't expect them to win the Central. I don't expect them to. I think they will. If they don't, I'll say, okay. But I think they can. And then if I think they can, I also think I don't expect them to win the World Series. I expect them to get there. But there is a version of this team that can do it. And Yelich and these guys, Woodruff and these guys, they talk about, Woody called this the best team he's had since he's been here.
It might be.
And that counts 2018. So I think there's a blending of there's not a lot of expectations, really, but also there could be a very special season here. And I hate to say this because this is not me, but I am going to enjoy the ride.
Yes, you will enjoy the ride. We all will. And those expectations are a direct result of what David Stearns and Council and Arnold and these guys have done. It's a direct result. Knowing full well that, you know, David Stearns a couple of years ago said, hey, guys, it's not worth my time to talk about the disparity in money. That's non-productive. And he comes right out and addresses that I have a far bigger problem in the money disparity amongst a team like the Dodgers that's got $230-plus million against his Brewers payroll. I have a huge problem with that. I don't see how that's fair, but nonetheless, Stearns looks at it as, hey, I not only have to battle that, which, you know, there's nothing I can do about it, but I also have to battle, well, and I hate to be critical here on opening day, Bart, but take a look at this roster here. Take a look at all these players, these starters, impact players, that come from outside this organization. What does that tell you about the farm system and the drafting that this team has done in the last decade? It doesn't reflect well, at least on the position player side. Just doesn't. So they're going to have to. That's the one part that's missing here. Is wouldn't it be nice to have Corey Ray tearing things up? Her first round pick of 16. You know, some of these other guys, a Lucas Irsay, that did tearing things up, and it would have been their time now. And now we have to wait a few more years for a Garrett Mitchell. Is that going to turn out? A Hedbert Perez, is that going to turn out?
Oh, Mitchell's going to – he's going to start in single A. He'll be in triple A by August.
Yeah, and maybe he is fast-tracked because of, number one, his talents. But number two, out of necessity, they need some help from within, Bart. They do. And I think they know that, and they've swung and missed at this point on a lot of their drafting. I'm not going to blame anybody or – was it Bruce Seid, the late Bruce Seid? Was it, you know, you go back and take a look at what Sorensic did with that era that we just talked about in Hardy and Hart and all those guys. I mean, he was amazing. He was truly amazing. Well, the other side of that was Sorensic did not produce pitchers. And that's where he dropped the ball. So they, you know, there are challenges here, the opportunity for these guys to kind of figure out. You know, Stearns, they elevated him to president to keep him. And they did that for a reason. Because of all those challenges I just talked about, he's still on a run. And he can still run with these guys. I just think there's something there that he has, there's an algorithm that he has figured out. And I'm not saying it's all analytics. I'm just saying he's got a good feel of, hey, I got to go outside this organization right now. For this next window, I'm going to have to play that free agent market thing a little bit more than probably they wanted to, Bart, honestly. But they had to do what they had to do. And for that, I credit Stearns and this organization for the run that they're on. And, you know, finally, we get to talk about watching a good movie every day, and that's the way I look at Brewers baseball. It's just like Kenta Maeda on the hill and, you know, there was some domination by him last year, a couple of starts against the Brewers. But Christian Yelich today is going to come up in a big situation. Keston Hiura may lace one into the corner for a two-run double. I mean, all of those things come to fruition today. And finally, it's not an abbreviated season. It is the full 162. So if Christian Yelich, I would be shocked if he gets off to a slow start. But he goes 1-for-27 with 12 Ks to start the season.
Ain't happening.
There's time to recover this year.
All right, I was hoping to keep you long enough so that we could get the lineup while you were on. It seems, Sam, we have the Brewers lineup?
Yeah, it's on the MLB at Bat.
Let's go.
And it's official?
Yeah.
All right, I haven't seen it. Sam, you're giving it to us.
Oh, okay, here we go. All right, leading off at second base, Colton Wong.
All right,
no
thoughts?
Surprise.
Okay,
no surprise.
No, hey, no surprise for me either.
Batting second at first base, Keston Hiura.
There you go. There you go, Craig. Perfect.
Why do you like that so much?
Because I knew he was going to do that against the right-hander.
Hell yeah, Craig,
right,
all lineups.
And left, and Christian Yelich is there in third.
Yep, Christian Yelich batting third at left field. Batting fourth in the cleanup, right field. Avisail Garcia.
Perfect, right on par. Attaboy, Craig.
All right, fifth.
Batting fifth, your starting third baseman for Brewers opening day, Travis Shaw.
Yep.
Okay.
Center field, batting sixth.
Go back to right, Lorenzo Cain.
Boom, yep.
All right, so no JBJ to start.
Nope. Batting seventh at catcher, Omar Narvaez.
Good.
Back to left.
I think Omi's going to have a good year.
Now you go back to right. Is it Urias or Lando at short?
How about this? Batting eighth at shortstop, Luis Urias.
Oh, Lando. Damn.
Brutal.
And then Woodruff batting ninth, obviously.
This is the tipping point in Orlando Arcia's career right here. This is big for him, a non-opening day start. This is big, guys.
Your Brewers lineup once again, Colton Wong at second. Keston Hiura at first, Yelich in left, Garcia in right, or I'll say Garcia.
Correct.
Third base is Mayor of Ding Dong City, Travis Shaw. Center field, Kane, Narvaez, Urias, Woodruff.
Now.
Do we have the Twins lineup? Breaking news, no one cares.
against a left-hander? It wouldn't surprise me if Kane is leading off, guys. So I, you know, like I said earlier, I don't know if they're just going to jet set Wong at the top, lefty, righty, it doesn't matter. But I think there's an opportunity against the lefty where Kane would then move up and Wong would move down.
You know what I miss about the On Deck show? Oh, I do have the Twins lineup. You know what I miss about the On Deck show is doing the lineups and then not knowing how to say anyone's name on the other team.
You know, you're right on. I sometimes couldn't confirm the pronunciation.
Yeah.
Sam knows this. He was with me on a lot of those. I couldn't confirm the actual correct pronunciation. And I'll just have a true confession here to the audience. I just made it up.
But he's saying you move on. Like, I'm going to do the Twins lineup. So, and for the bad guys, out in left field, Luis, there he is. Third base will be Josh. And then, like, the names that are you confidently say, Josh Donaldson.
Yes, yes.
And then in second, Jorge Polanco. First is Miguel Sano. Max Kepler's in right. Byron Buxton. Mitch Garver. Andrelton Simmons, and then Kenta. Joe, is it Maeda? Maeda? My friend told me it was Maeda.
Yeah,
so that's Twins lineup. If you followed any of that,
they're a good team. They're a good team. They got their hands full this weekend with that Twins squad. They do, Bart. So this is right out of the chute. Some tough competition. I mean, when you think about it, Twins, Cubs, Cardinals. Right out of the stretch here. They get off to a good start here. We got something rolling.
I'm going to say something. I don't mean to keep you so terribly long. But I have a feeling in me. I don't think I've been this excited for a baseball season since I was a kid.
There's something different about it. And it probably, maybe it's obvious because of last year. And it just was, again. Just
it feels like it's 1993 all over again. Or 1992 for me.
Okay. So, 92, what a great season, too. I mean,
My first favorite team. Pat Listash, Rookie of the Year.
Yep. They had a run trying to chase down the Blue Jays that year, and it just...
Oh, and then Molitor went to the Blue Jays. Remember that?
I interviewed him. I was just getting into this business. I interviewed him... The first game that the Blue Jays were back at County Stadium after he became a Blue Jay, and I just sort of locked up. You know, being a younger broadcaster, I locked up, and then I just froze. and I just felt so – I was mortified, honestly. If it had been another player that wasn't like Molitor, my childhood, you know, kind of guy – I wouldn't have done that, but it was Molitor, and I locked up, and he just leaned over and helped me out. He just kind of laughed about it.
Dude, Molitor, he was on, he's a friend of show, by the way. We talked to him last summer.
Was an excellent interview, Bart.
Well, it's up for an award. People forget.
Good.
Or at least I submitted it. I haven't heard back, so it's probably not. But I did submit it.
It was a good interview. You guys are excellent.
Well, I'm a great interviewer. It's a little known secret.
Well, tell people.
I do. I'm telling people.
I do miss that, too. I do miss bringing that to the shows here on The Fan. I do. It's something that
I'm a good interviewer when I can't see your face. You put me down in that clubhouse, I might be the worst person at speaking, and I can't even say it right now. I'm so bad. Colin Walsh, what's it like to play baseball for a professional job for a living?
Nobody heard it, but Billy and I had a rough go with a Ben Gamel interview, and that didn't make the cut. That didn't make the air.
Oh, you know who's bad at doing interviews? Brett Anderson. He doesn't say anything.
Well, you got to loosen these guys up a little bit. And they will. And that's the other thing. I think Doug Melvin, I think he turned things around here when he addressed his team some years ago and described to his team how important the fans were. And that was rare at that time. This, you know, again, was more than just a handful of years ago. But I was impressed with that, and I think that's one of the reasons why Council is always sort of fan-friendly, and I think that's why his teams are fan-friendly. And for the most part, media-friendly, Bart, let's face it. They do a good job with that stuff. And to emphasize how important this fan base is to this team, they made no bones about it at that time. This is what makes us go. We got to get fans in the stands to get better. And to admit that at that time, I underestimated. Now I look back in hindsight and realize how sort of pioneering that was in professional sports when you acknowledge the fans as an important part of their success. And it is. It is, especially in a market size of Milwaukee. And I don't say that because they're the little brother. I say that because it's reality. I mean, if fans don't go to American Family Field on a regular basis and Miller Park over the years, I don't think they're on this run right now, Bart. I really don't. I don't think that the business side of things would have warranted signing an $18 million Yasmani Grandal at that time. I don't think that those types of things would have happened to grab JBJ here for 12 a year. I don't think those things happen if the fan base isn't, or let's just go the other way. Let's say the fan base is, they put in $1.2 million this season. Those types of things wouldn't happen. I think Doug Melvin turned that corner for this team.
I don't know when this is from. I think it's a couple years ago. I've always saved it because I like it. I'm just going to play it quick because it's fitting. This is Craig Council just a couple years ago talking about what the Brewers mean to the city.
Last year probably provided a great example of what it can do for the community in kind of the best case scenarios. And then, you know, just in a normal thing, it's, you know, what sports are meant to do is provide an outlet for entertainment, provide a connection for people in the community. I think the Brewers have done that. It's civic pride, a place to come that the citizens are proud of, and a place to have enjoy each other's company, and hopefully see something entertaining. I think we're doing a decent job of that. And over 50 years, would prefer more world championships, but hopefully we're getting there.
I'm going to say something kind of emotional here. I think that, you know, this is a very divided time, but when you do go to the ballpark, you're all there agreeing on one thing at least. You know, you root for the same team, and that's why I think the Bucks are great for this town, because Milwaukee is a very diverse city, but so it doesn't look like it some way because of the segregation. You go to Fiserv Forum, especially during the playoff run for the Bucks, that's a true representation of Milwaukee. Everybody of every part of the town is there. I love that. And then with the Brewers, it's getting that way a little bit too. But when you're in the spot, whether it's Fiserv Forum or now the AmFam Funhouse, I told you I'm going to make that stick, you're all agreeing on one thing. And that's, you know, you don't feel... I don't know, maybe I'm like old man now, but growing up, I felt more community with my neighborhood and stuff. You don't really feel that as much. I think you feel it, though, when you're at that ballpark. Wow. I did not see that coming from my mouth today.
I agree with you, and you think about the infrastructure of employment, of sales of whoever has the sausage contract in that stadium, and the production from the manufacturer to get all the peanuts and the meats and the buns and all of that. If they don't put in what they put in on average, $2.5 million a year, Bart, all of those things are downsized. The infrastructure goes in the wrong direction. And more individually here, you know, in my particular case, they don't have that type of attendance. I don't have a job. And that's clear to me that if there aren't fans in those stands and the buzz around Brewers baseball on a regular basis, I don't have a job. And a lot of people wouldn't be making the money that they're making. They wouldn't have the jobs that they currently have. We saw the devastating effects of last year, not having that. And I agree that it is sort of this putting onto the map, I won't say dependency, on the fans in the stands, but it certainly is a huge part. And the best thing about that, Bart, is it's finally acknowledged. And it may happen in other markets. I'm not sure. I don't follow, you know, the Cincinnati Reds as close as I do this team. But it, at least it's acknowledged. And that part of it is pretty cool. And they've made efforts to, you know, maintain. And it wasn't just, since you're good, then the fans will come out. There's part of that, no doubt. You know, I have four sisters, and when the Brewers are doing well, it's like, why did he take that pitcher out at that time? And it's like they're into it when they're good, when they're not. So there's a part of the community that, you know, the Fairweather fans, that's fine. And I'll embrace them and with open arms. But you know, it's truly part of this community, and I think it's one of the most important, if not the most important, relationship between the fan base and the organization, I think, in America. It's one of, if not the best.
Okay, I got one more question for you to keep you.
Shoot.
Will Salmon tweeted this out. This will be the first time since 2007 Bronze not in the opening day lineup. The opening day lineup in 2007. Weeks, Hardy, Fielder, Hall, Johnny Estrada, Jenkins, Hart, Council, Sheets. Is that a better lineup than today?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Because I'm high on this offense. I'm going to say that this offense will
Hart batted impress. Seventh? Was that when he swung low and away at everything?
Yeah, low and away.
Oh my God, goodness. Corey Windmill. Hart, why?
Windmill.
Oh,
I mean, Braun went through that too a little bit. That was the final piece of his escalation was he had to lay off that low breaker outside. That's a tough nut to crack.
What was Hart looking for? My God.
Hanging curveball.
Jeez.
That's what he's looking for. I will say on that lineup today, I had it pegged except Shaw and Narvaez would have been flipped for me.
Oh, and their batting spots?
Yep.
Again, it's Wong, Hira, Yelich, Garcia, Shaw, Kane, Narvaez, Urias, Woodruff, Tim Allen, Pella Windows and Doors postgame show every day after last pitch, make the switch. Thank you. I love you. You know that. You don't have to say it back. I know you love me too, and I love the Brewers, and I'm so happy it's today. I'm so happy today is today.
I cannot wait, guys. Sweet 16th year of talking Brewers baseball with everyone.
Ooh, okay. All right. Did you get a new car for your celebration, bud?
No. I didn't even get an award like you.
Well, that's pending. I submitted it, but I haven't heard back. So
I don't think I've ever, Bart, in all honesty, I don't think I've ever received a broadcasting award ever.
Well, I was voted in 2014 Fond du Lac's best DJ.
That's big.
For Mornings with Bart on the now defunct K107.1. It's now 107 The Bull. It's country.
Was that the old Cool 100?
It was Cool 107, yeah.
Cool 107. A lot of good talent has gone through Fond du Lac. Honestly.
John Brandmeier went through there. Johnny B.
That was good. That's funny you bring him up. He was the impetus. I had a conversation with our boss a week or two ago, and I told him that Jonathan Brandmeier was the impetus for me getting into radio because of his versatility. That dude could do country if you wanted him to. He could do a talk show. He could jock records. He could do bits. I loved his versatility. Good.
Wouldn't you say I'm the Johnny B of our time?
I don't know.
Well, I am. Telling you. I'm telling you I am.
Okay, congrats. Sammy gets the Johnny B Award.
Yeah, I'll do that. All right, buddy. We'll talk.
All right, Bart.
Enjoy the game. Tim Allen, the postgame show again later today after the last pitch. Make that switch. All of our coverage leading up to that is brought to you by the Milwaukee Veterans Affairs Medical Center. Want to remind all enrolled and eligible veterans, get your COVID-19 vaccine shot. You can do it now. Again, that's the Milwaukee Veterans Affairs Medical Center. Telling about reminding you about Window Select, 262-703-3500, 262-703-3500. They have a double lifetime. I got to be careful here. I've been told that I say warranty wrong. I enunciate the wrong syllable. Warranty? Do I say warranty? Double lifetime warranty. Double lifetime warranty. Double lifetime warranty. Double lifetime, how about I say guarantee? You know what I'm saying. It's good for two of your lifetimes. What this means is that their products are very high quality, very energy efficient, and they believe in them, and you should as well. That's windowselect.com, 262-703-3500, 262-703-3500, windowselect.com. They have got the free installation deal, which extends now into this week. So get something on the books. You've been thinking about that summer project. You want to see your home in a new light this summer. Hey, there you go. Windowselect.com, 262-703-3500. New, beautiful, customizable entryway doors. They will do windows. Buy one, get one free on the windows is the deal. Free installation this week and no payments for a full year. Plus, they can get the siding done. Really let your home pop on the outside. It's Windowselect, 262-703-3500, 262-703-3500. Couple of news and notes from around the world of sports. Looks like we do have a postponement today. Red Sox, Orioles. Is this weather related? I haven't seen anything on it. You don't know now. Is it weather or is it COVID? I would say it's weather related between the Red Sox and Orioles. Sam and I are going to Google race to find out.
Yeah, it is weather.
Okay, weather related. There you go. That's why they have a built-in off day for a lot of these guys tomorrow. They're going to play tomorrow at 1:10. And again, with news today, today sucks. Today's the best day of the year because it's opening day. But today on the calendar, worst day of the year because it's April Fool's, which I think has kind of died off. I don't think people do it as much, but you still see some people do it. And, you know, I just saw it's dumb. Like Roy Williams, he announces his retirement, right? UNC, his last game ever. He lost to Wisconsin. But is that an April Fool's joke right away? I mean, what can you believe today? That's why I just ignore it. Worst, dumbest, stupidest day of the entire calendar year. Rams on the north side. Ram.
Hey, man, I love to hear when Tim is on the radio. I was telling, I can't think of his name, so I got to take the call. So.
Well, you just talked to him. I say it 15 times a day. His name's Sam Schmitz.
Sam, I know.
Sam and Ram, it rhymes.
It's hip-hop Sam, man. He told me he got mad skills. So really, Vark,
is that true?
You got to work on him and Ryan getting a show, and they'll be doing, like, betting, and then they'll be, like, you know, giving away T-shirts.
Him and Ryan? Well, where am I?
Well, Bart, you know, you'll be right there because you could do the podcast maybe right on Oakland somewhere, you know? And
now you're shipping me to Oakland and you're kicking me off the radio?
No, the podcast, bro. Mobile.
I'm a radio guy. Podcast schmodcast.
Okay, well, we do radio remote. It'd be like a radio remote, you know?
Yeah, and get me out in the people. Get me to a bar. Get me to a gas station.
Okay. Mobile.
Give me to a mobile bar. Gas station.
Mobile bar.
Give me to a pedal tavern.
Okay, pedal tavern at the lakefront.
Yes.
In July. Bradford Beach.
Yep. Broadcasting live. Good morning, everybody. It's Bart here at Bradford Beach.
Yeah, and then Tim would be right there. Yeah. Had a big umbrella. And it'd be like for a Brewer game, and then somebody can be out at the Brewer game.
Yeah.
And you got baseball T-shirt, something like
hey,
that.
Hey, quick question. Don't get offended. What the hell are we talking about?
I don't know. we're talking about Tim, really. And
Tim.
Every time he comes on, I tune in. And if it really wasn't for him, I probably would have lost interest in Brewer baseball.
Oh, wow. That's like the highest compliment you could give him.
You know, because I used to listen to him, like, back in 2015 when we were, like, on this run. He kept always saying, Brewers to the World Series. And you know what? In those 3 years, we almost made it, like, two times. I mean, we was, like, right there. So I kind of think, like, he has a connection with David Stearns, probably. I think. What do you think? Maybe that should be a poll question, maybe, for sometime.
Like, what kind of connection?
I think they kind of listen to him in player moves.
I mean, now. That's the biggest conspiracy theory you've ever had.
I know. But I think these people are concerned because of social media and radio. It's kind of a strong connection. They're listening.
They listened to me when for 4 years I said, go get a pitcher, and they never did.
I know. Well, That's because our farm league was doing good, so we got to rebuild the farm system. So I think Stearns is doing that, you know. But you know what? I say this about that. I think the major league has a conspiracy against the Brewers and council, because it seems like every time he come up with a way to compete, because he's a small market, they come and pull the rug from under his feet. That could be a poll question too, because that's what it looks like to me, Bart.
Oh no, no, that's not a conspiracy. That's fact.
That's a fact.
That's fact.
How can we compete with the Dodgers?
You just got to put a little more spit on that ball, and you know, have a bigger heart, and try a little bit harder.
So that means basically we got to find a pitcher somewhere in Kansas or up in wherever he's at, or in the inner city, who got a fastball and he's bagging groceries, and put a Brewer uniform on him and bring him up.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. More scouting. Okay. I get with that. Yeah, but yeah, I think the Brewers will win the Central, and I think we got a big surprise coming. I think this might be their year.
I feel good about it too. I like that we can agree.
No, I think this might be. I'm not concerned about with the Dodgers, because they still got to win. Yeah, you can stack everything up. You still got to win. You still got to play the game, right?
Ram, why don't you call Tim today and tell him all those nice things you said?
I am.
Good.
All right, Bart, I'm out.
See ya. Ram, yep. North Side. What better way to wrap up the opening day show than with Notebook Mike?
Hey, I hate to throw cold water on everyone. They haven't played a game this year yet.
Oh, they'll blow it in the playoffs. Oh, Dennis, Randy Quaid.
Hey, I got big news. I just saw a crawl on ESPN2. Jordan Love, Kevin King, and two picks for a first-round pick.
I don't even want you to finish this. Don't just stop. We ain't playing this game.
Well, it's April Fool's. Come on.
Yeah, the worst day of the year.
All right, have a good one, guys.
That's it?
Well, you want more?
Oh, yeah, can you give me like 60 seconds more? That's all I need, though.
And Storm and Vooks back in the day. And I used to go there, and you had Paul Molitor and Vukovic and Gorman Thomas. That was good times. So you didn't buy my joke.
No, I hate April Fools.
Oh, well, think of one all day and get your family or your wife or your friends. But you didn't buy it, eh?
No.
All right, guys. Go Brewers!
All right.
What a way to wrap up this show.
Things are going along smoothly. And we're talking Brewers. I got emotional about our hometown here. And then that's why April Fool's sucks. Everyone's a comedian today. Stupid. We'll see you at the ballpark. I'll see you on the gram. Tim Allen, after the last pitch, make the switch today and all season long. Big Show next.